Mimicking the effects of a volcanic eruption to block the sun's rays is just one of a whole lot of crazy ideas people have come up with to stop global warming. There's also a proposal to put space mirrors into clouds to deflect the sun's rays. Or another idea, creating sodium trees to suck carbon dioxide out of the air. Australian economist Clive Hamilton gives us Geoengineering 101.
There are two types of geoengineering technology, solar radiation management, but also carbon dioxide removal. And these sodium trees, or so-called, it's a bit misleading, they're sort of giant metal boxes, contraptions that would suck carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and then pump it somewhere and bury it underground. There are other forms of carbon dioxide removal, and perhaps the main one, or the one receiving most attention, is so-called ocean ion fertilization. The oceans have the capacity to absorb a huge amount of carbon dioxide, but the way you get it down into the deep oceans, where it could be stored for a long time, is through what's known as the biological pump. And the idea is, if we spread iron on the ocean, you get a bloom of algae. All of these algae grow, they suck up carbon dioxide, and then when they die, they'll take it to the bottom of the ocean. That's the plan. Whether it works or not is another question.
Okay, so that's one way to reduce greenhouse gases. Another way might be to deflect the sun's radiation so it can't heat up the atmosphere.
So one idea is to put up a cloud of space mirrors that would be oriented in a particular way to deflect enough sunlight away from the Earth so that the Earth is cooled. Another is so-called marine cloud brightening. And this is quite a serious proposal, which would involve building a fleet of special ships that would roam the oceans, spraying micro droplets of water into the air, which would help the formation of low-lying marine clouds. And if we can have more of these clouds and make them brighter, then they will reflect some of the sunlight back into space.
Some geoengineering ideas are more serious than others, but don't you think we should know what we're doing before we start mucking around with the entire planet?
We're talking about trying to manipulate the Earth system as a whole, because, you know, the climate is not just the climate. And so when we start intervening in one bit of it, it's absolutely guaranteed that other parts of it, some of which are very unpredictable, will be affected. So, for instance, the early studies that have looked at sulfate aerosol spraying surrounding the Earth with this layer of sulfate particles to cool it down will have a range of other effects. For example, it won't just cool the Earth, it will also affect rainfall patterns around the world. One suggestion is that it may shift the Indian monsoon from over India, Pakistan, perhaps down to the southwest towards Africa. And of course, that would affect food supplies for a billion people or more. When you start to think about this program or this idea of modifying the global climate, effectively installing a global thermostat that would allow whoever has their hand on the thermostat to turn down or up the global temperature, and therefore to affect climatic conditions around the world, you start to think, well, this has huge strategic implications. I mean, we already know in the past that a lot of generals and military people have thought about controlling the weather as a military operation. But if you're talking about a global thermostat, then it has tremendous implications for conflict, for nations fighting over whether it should be done and who should have their hand on the global thermostat. And so immediately you start to think, well, the militaries are going to be involved in this because of its strategic implications, and because in the case of sulfate aerosol spraying, if you have a fleet of specially equipped aircraft that have to go up every day and spray sulfate particles into the upper atmosphere, then the logistics of that are such that it's probably going to be the military involved in some way. There is no natural anymore. Every cubic meter of water, of air, every hectare of land now has a human imprint on it. So we've become global managers. The key question is, what kind of managers are we going to be? Are we going to see ourselves as the Promethean masters of the earth to go out and transform it technologically so that we use it to suit our needs? Or are we going to be what might be called Soterians, after the Greek goddess of care, of caution, of preservation, and step back and say, look, it's enormous hubris for us to imagine that we can act like God and control the earth in totality. That's my concern, that if we try to intervene and be masters of the earth, then we're going to find that we can't control this vast, complex, powerful system, and we're almost certain to come to grief.
Clive Hamilton is a professor of public ethics in Canberra, Australia, and the author of Earthmasters: The Dawn of the Age of Climate Engineering.